Turn, if you will, tonight to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 15. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. We've all heard the expression that a picture is worth a thousand words. Indeed, this is a picture in verse 1 that a thousand words wouldn't come close to describing. What a wonderful picture this is. And of course, our Lord is surrounded by publicans and sinners. Can you picture that? In your mind's eye, can you visualize that? There's our Lord and Savior. He who did no sin, in whom was no sin, surrounded by publicans and sinners, just pressing in upon him, and standing further off outside this circle of sinners, are the Pharisees and the scribes. Can you picture them too? They look down their self-righteous nose and they say, look at this. Caleb, can you imagine this? This man actually associates with publicans and sinners. But in this picture, of course, the center of attention is Jesus Christ himself. And that's as it should be. John said, that's as it should be. He must increase, but I must decrease. He's the main attraction. And I pray that he will be during these next 3 days in our hearts. That he'll be the main attraction. In the Song of Solomon, the bride was asked, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? What makes him so special? And she said, oh, there's none like him. There's not another like him. He's special. He's the chiefest among 10,000. As a matter of fact, he's altogether lovely. Altogether. In every part. No matter how you view him, he's perfect. Perfect God and perfect man. He is altogether lovely. And in him alone can this be said. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy there by him. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. The Old Testament prophet said, or rather in Isaiah, God said, look unto me. Look unto me. Nowhere else. To none other. Why pray ye to a God? Doesn't this sound familiar? Why do you pray to a God that cannot save? Don't do that. God in grace and mercy says, look unto me. Look unto Christ. He receiveth sinners. Look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God. I am God, a just God, a Savior. And besides me, there is no other. This is my beloved Son, God the Father said, in whom I am well pleased. Yes, he indeed is the center of attraction, is he not? Simeon said, after seeing him as a babe and taking him up in his arms, he said, well, got nothing left to live for. Let me die. Lord, let me now depart in peace. Why? Why? Because I've seen your salvation. And he was in the temple at the time But you know what he was gazing at? You know what he was beholding? The center of attraction. God's Son. The only substitute for sinners. The Savior of sinners. Simeon said, I see him. Now I'm ready to die. Surrounding our Lord here, we're told in verse 1, all the publicans and sinners. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Isn't that a wonderful picture? Christ receiveth sinful men. That would be a good caption under this picture, wouldn't it? Christ receiveth sinful men. But take him out of the picture. Take Christ out of the picture. And all you have left are the publicans and the sinners. Without Christ, without him, what's left? The crowd's still there. The publicans, the sinners are still there. There's the scribes and the Pharisees. But without Christ, you have only sinners without a Savior. Only sinners without hope. Without Christ, you have dying sinners. But without the great physician, he alone that can cure the disease of their sins. You have lost wandering sheep without the great shepherd. See how entirely different the picture is without him? Entirely different picture, isn't it? Sinners standing there alone. Alone. Think of that. Sinners standing alone. Sinners that will soon stand before God Almighty, the absolute just and righteous judge of all the earth. Sinners that will soon, in a very brief time, just as we gathered here, will stand before God Almighty, who declares the soul that sinneth must die. Sinners standing before him, because it's appointed unto men, all men, wants to die, but after this, what does the scripture say? After this, I'll float around the hospital room and look down on my corpse? No. Or I may be in a tunnel of a bright light and then come back and write a book about it? No. It's appointed unto men wants to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment. Standing before God Almighty, without him, without Christ, without a mediator. Oh, imagine that. Oh, what a vastly different picture this is. Without him. Without him. Standing before God Almighty, without a mediator. Between a holy God and my sinful soul, with nothing between, without him. What a horrible picture that is. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. And it's not the priest, is it, Pastor? And it's not the Pope. And it's not the preacher. And it's not the Baptist, David. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, he's altogether lovely. Oh, he's precious because he mediates between a holy God and this sinner, and he does so successfully. Remember those many that we read of in Matthew chapter 7. Our Lord said, in that day, when all men are ushered into the presence of God Almighty, many shall stand before him in that day and say, you remember us. You know us. We did many mighty works. We did many great works. And we did them in your name. and their mediator, they thought. The grounds of their acceptance before God, they thought, was their own works. Imagine that. Standing before God with nothing else. Standing before God alone. Our Lord said, in that day, it'll be that way. Standing before Him with nothing, without a mediator. And of course, the only result can be, depart from me. Depart from me. Your works aren't enough. They're not enough. Depart from me into outer darkness. He's the reason the picture here in Luke 1, 15 and 1 rather, is so wonderful. Because He Himself is wonderful. The prophet said, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And He shall be Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And He shall be wonderful. Wonderful in His person. Wonderful in His work. Wonderful in His accomplishments. Wonderful as the Savior of sinners. Wonderful as the great Shepherd of the sheep. Indeed, He's wonderful. Remove Him, and you take away the only hope for helpless sinners. Take Him out of the picture, and you take away hope. Oh, you still have the scribes and the Pharisees there. Oh, yes. And they'd be more than happy to take these poor sinners and bind them with their traditions of don't touch this and don't go there and don't wear that and don't taste the other and make them twofold more the child of hell than they are themselves. But without Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light. I am the light. We abide in darkness. Without Him who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Without Him, there can only be death. Unless He who said, I am the resurrection, comes to the tomb, Darwin, of my cold, depraved, dead heart, and speaks life into me, I remain in that condition. Oh, He indeed is wonderful, is He not? Turn back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9. Here we have Matthew hosting a great feast in our Lord's honor, because He walked by and said, Matthew, follow me. And He did. And again on this occasion, you have the scribes and the Pharisees standing by. Verse 10 of Matthew 9. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? The same thing they said in Luke 15. Look at our Lord's answer. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Go and learn what that meaneth. Have you learned that? Have you learned what the Lord meant there? I'll have mercy. Have you learned that old hymn, the truth of that old hymn? Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no langer know? All these for sin could not atone. Thou, Lord Jesus, Thou great Shepherd, Thou must save. And Thou alone. Our Lord said, go and learn what that means. Again, in Luke 15, verse 1, the publicans and the sinners crowd around him. They press upon him. Why? Look what we're told. For to hear him. For to hear him. That's what we want, don't we? That's what we need more than anything else. To hear him. Who speaks as never a man yet spake. All to hear him. You'll hear Don and David and myself these 3 days. All but to hear him. Because only he is full of grace and truth. He alone has grace, as we sang a moment ago, that's greater than all my sin. Listen what it says of him. The psalmist said in Psalm 45, thou art fairer than the children of men. Speaking of our Redeemer, grace is poured into thy lips. John said, we saw him, the only begotten of the Father. And he's full of grace. And he's full of truth. All the grace that a sinner can ever need. All the grace required to take him out of the depths and the pit of his sin all the way to glory. Grace that is greater than all of his sin. Grace is poured into his lips. All that he might speak. That he might speak grace to our hearts. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God have blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby thy people fall under them, under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. All that we would hear from him who said, I am the way. I am the way. There's not another. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Noah didn't do it. Abraham didn't do it. They came the same way that Peter and Paul came. No man's ever came to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only avenue. A couple of weeks ago, I went up to Hendersonville, North Carolina. Don and two other brethren were preaching there, so I went to be in service with them. When I left Thursday, I think it was, I have a GPS in the car. So I just listen and do what it says. It took me right through Atlanta. Man, what a mess. 8 lanes of traffic. And I'm fussing at her. The GPS. What? Was there not a bypass around this? Did we have to come through this way? God Almighty says, you can't come to me and bypass Jesus Christ. There's not a bypass to me. This is my son. You've got to hear him. To come to me, you've got to come through my son. Would you be accepted before a holy God? Would you be accepted before him who demands perfection? Would you have the smile of God Almighty shed abroad in your heart? Then look to Christ. Christ says, come unto me. Oh, hear him. Grace is poured into his lips. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, sweet rest. Sweet rest. Oh, it's so sweet to trust in and to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to fall down on him. Oh, and just to rest right there. Will the storms blow? Well, most certainly. Will the waves arise? Most certainly. But on Christ the solid rock, there'll never be one of His sheep ever washed away, because they're on that one certain sure foundation of the church, Jesus Christ Himself, that He might speak, that we might hear from Him. He said, as the Father have life in Himself, even so has He given to the Son to have life in Himself, that whosoever hears His voice, shall live. It's impossible otherwise. You remember that time the disciples watched the conversation between our Lord and the rich young ruler in Luke 19, I believe it is. And He sent him away sorrowful. And He said, how hardly it is for those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples, obviously impressed with this rich young man, said, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? You remember what our Lord said. With men, it's impossible. Now, all over this area, this Sunday, all over this country, men will stand up and tell poor lost sinners, it's easy as ABC. It's just as easy as repeating a prayer. It's as easy as moving from there to here. It's just easy being saved. Our Lord said, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's impossible. Oh, it's not hard to repeat a prayer. Someone put words in your mouth. It's not hard to walk up an aisle. Oh, but to be raised from the dead, to walk in newness of life, that requires nothing less than omnipotence, and you don't have it. You don't have it. Oh, but the great shepherd does. He's the mighty God. He has life in Himself, and He speaks life into the souls of all His people. Who then can be saved? It's impossible with man, but not with God. It requires a miracle. Salvation requires a miracle, and you can't perform it. Oh, but God can, and He does. Oh, to hear His voice. To hear His voice. What happens? What happened that day? 4 days after the death of Lazarus, and our Lord comes to Bethany, and Martha takes Him out to the tomb. Roll away the stone. Lord, He's been dead 4 days. It's too late. He's been gone. He's been gone 4 days. Take ye away the stone. Oh, another wonderful picture, is it not? There stands the God-man. There He stands. And the stone is rolled away. Lazarus is dead as dead can be. And when He who is the resurrection and the life speaks these words, Lazarus, come forth. My soul, would you look at that, Don? Here comes Lazarus shuffling out of that grave. Here he comes, bound with grave cloths. And our Lord says, loose him, take those off of him. They're not fit for a living man. Take those grave cloths off of him. When He says, live, God's people live. When He says, Lazarus, come forth, He comes forth, and so will you. So will you. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, oh, may He be pleased. It's up to Him. It's all up to Him. You're harboring a delusion that it's up to you. No, it's not up to you. It's up to Him. It's all up to Him whether you live or not. You're in His hands, and it's up to Him whether He gives you eternal life or not. It's up to Him whether He speaks salvation to you or not. It's all up to Him. Oh, but you know what? He delights to show mercy. He takes great joy, as he said in this parable, over one sinner that repents. Great joy when he finds that one lost sheep and puts it on his shoulders and takes it all the way home. Oh, if he comes and speaks to you, you'll live. You'll live. Oh, that he might speak, that we might hear him as they crowded around that day to hear him. When a leprous sinner falls at his feet and says, if you will, you can make me clean. I'm unclean. God's law has pronounced me unclean. The priest says I'm unclean. I'm an outcast. My case is completely hopeless. But if you will, you can make me clean. He said, I will be thou clean. And he was made perfectly whole. When he speaks, I will be clean. And the result is this. The result is this. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. If any blind beggars cry, Jesus, have mercy on me. Is there one here? Is there a blind, poor beggar before the throne of mercy, seeking grace? Is there one here? Oh, listen. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside. Turn over just a few chapters in Luke 18. Let's remember when this took place. In Luke 18, verse 31, then he took unto him, that is our Lord, took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. I like that word, don't you? Accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. That's where he's going at this very time. He's going up to Jerusalem. He's going up there to obtain the eternal redemption of all his people. He's going up there to make atonement for the sins of all those the Father gave him before the world ever was. He's going up there to redeem those that God Almighty put in his hands as our surety. He's on his way to accomplish that. And he does. Bless his name, he does. And that's why he cries, it is finished. And as he's going, can you imagine this? As he's going, there sits in his rags a beggar. A blind beggar. What's the noise? What's the commotion about? And someone says, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And that beggar begins to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they say, be quiet. You beggar, you bum. He doesn't have time for you. Who do you think you are? You come here every day. You're here every day. Just sitting in your poverty, begging in your darkness. And he ignores them. Thank God for constraining grace. He ignores them. Jesus, have mercy on me. Don't you love this? Isn't this a glorious picture? The Son of God stands still. He stops. He stops. He heard this Bartimaeus sitting in his darkness and in his rags. Have mercy. And my soul, he stopped. This man receiveth sinners. That was one accusation the Pharisees leveled at our Lord. That was right. He pled guilty to. Guilty as charged. And he gave the parable to illustrate it. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? And that's why we sing, don't we? We sing, dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. No. Until all the ransomed church of God be saved, the sin no more. Perhaps the Lord of glory, before these services are over, may speak words like these to a broken-hearted sinner. Like he did that woman in Luke 7. And you know where he spoke these words? Right in the house of a Pharisee. She comes in, and just like these, he looks down his nose, Simon the Pharisee, who does she think she is? Who invited her in here? How'd she get in here? And look what she's touching him. That proves he's not a prophet. If he was, he would know what kind of woman this is, and he wouldn't allow her to touch him. Oh, yes. The only ones that do touch him are sinners. Are sinners. And he spoke these words, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. Imagine that. Thy faith has saved thee, he said. Go in peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ forever. Forever. For he is our peace. Perhaps the great shepherd of the sheep who said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost, will do that very thing here. Did he not himself say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me? And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, of all that he giveth me, I should lose none. Verses 4 through 7, our Lord says to the Pharisees, yes, I'm guilty as charged. In our Lord's answer, he replies to them, more than just receiving sinners, he tells them, I go out on purpose. I go out deliberately to find them. And I keep seeking until I find them. The search won't stop, he says in verse 4, until I find them. Which of you, or rather verse 5, he says to you, 99 self-righteous Pharisees that have no need of the great physician, I'll leave you where you're at. I'll leave you in your self-righteousness. But all for that one lost sheep, I'll go out. And when he had found it, verse 5, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. He says, I'll search until I find it. I'll seek that one. The search won't end until he finds that one lost sheep. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he did? Aren't you glad he didn't cease the search until he found you? That's why he must go through Samaria. That's why he must cross over the sea to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had found it, verse 5, what then? What then? When he had found that sheep, what then? What does he say? I've done all I can, Caleb. Now it's up to you. Oh, thank God that's not true. Peter, we crossed the sea. We came over here and found this demoniac in these caves. But now we can't do anything. He won't cooperate. He won't take the first step. Oh, no. The great shepherd says, I come and seek and save. He searches till he finds it. And when he finds it, what do we read? He layeth it upon his shoulders. He takes it all the way home. From the guttermost to the uttermost. All the way home. You see, the sheep, the salvation of the sheep is his responsibility. He carries them on his broad shoulders of omnipotent grace. What do the sheep do? What do the sheep do? What part do they play in it? They're carried. They just rest there in his everlasting arms. Secure. Resting in the arms of their shepherd. For everything. Trusting him for everything. And it feels so good. It feels so good. Just to rest in him. They're complete in him. Not long ago, I went back to Danville to visit my grandchildren. Took them out to eat. Before we left the house, I asked them, where would you like to eat? And they said, we don't care where we eat, Paul, as long as it's a buffet. As long as it's all we can eat. All we have here in our great shepherd, a buffet of grace. Because in him, God had made him to be unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We're complete in him. Oh, thank God. For the great shepherd. Verses 6 and 7, we'll read them together and we'll wrap this up. It says, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99, like the Pharisees, just persons they thought themselves to be, which need no repentance. Notice, and when he cometh home, not if he cometh home, but when he cometh home, all the way to glory. Remember that night? Just before he was arrested, just before Judas came to the garden with the mob, our Lord prayed, Father, I will that all those whom you have given me be with me where I am. I want them home with me in glory. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 15. This is exactly what we have here. Revelation 14. We have the Lamb, but he's not alone. The Lamb and his company. Verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, God's elect, every one of them, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. This is why he endured the cross, for the joy that was set before him. And look down at verse 3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song. But the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Amazing grace. Without fault before the throne of God. Thank God, yes. This man receiveth sinners. Amen. God bless you.